Investigators, I looked in the eyes of the alleged Long Island serial killer Rex Huerman, charged in the murders of the victims known as the Gilgo Four.
He cocked his head back and glanced right at the media that was seated in the front couple rows, including myself, and he gave us all a glance. And then he looked back at his attorneys and he walked out.
This case has gone unsolved for more than a decade. It's legend in the New York area, and quite frightening. But the question remains, is Huerman guilty? If so, did he act alone? And did he do all the murders? Or are we talking about several serial killers here?
I just question whether, like, the family, like, had a suspicion of it. Just, like, I know that it's different because, you know, the wife and the kids grew to, like, love him. They were in their lives for the longest time, like, obviously. But I just question, like, being so close, like, do you see those things? Like, do you catch on? Like, because that's scary. Like, if you don't catch on to those things being so close, it's like that could happen to anyone.
Before we dive into the case, I want to remind you that the content is for mature audiences and still might not be for everyone. And at the end of the episode, a special shout out to an investigator who wrote a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps independent podcasts like this one get noticed. We have been on many of the charts around the country and also around the globe. And that's because of you. Thank you for your support. So please hit subscribe, rate 5-star, and write a review. Now, the Gilgo Murders. Investigators, you're on deadline.
From the Hollywood Hills to your ear holes, this is True Crime Deadline. A podcast discussing cold cases, murder mysteries, and completely random thoughts. Now, here's your host, a man who stands in front of crime scene tape and talks on the TV box for a living, Mr. Mystery himself, Matt Johnson.
Investigators, thank you for joining me for this episode, the suspected Long Island serial killer, the Gilgo Murders case. It's a case that takes us to Long Island, New York, a thin stretch of beach along Ocean Drive, where in December of 2010, near Gilgo Beach, authorities made a shocking discovery. The badly decomposed bodies of four women, each wrapped in burlap. Megan Waterman, Melissa Bartholomew, Amber Costello, and Maureen Brainerd Barnes, known as the Gilgo Four.
In December of 2010, their bodies were recovered. They were buried in a similar fashion, in a similar location, in a similar way. All the women were petite. They all did the same thing for a living. They all advertised the same way. And there were immediately there were similarities with regard to the crime scenes.
I was recently in New York investigating the case for Court TV.
Matt Johnson joining us live from outside the accused killer's home tonight.
Rex Huerman facing charges in the deaths of three women of the 11 that were found in that Gilgo Beach area. We are live here in New York, just feet away from where the suspected Long Island serial killer was arrested. We're at Gilgo Beach in Long Island. This is where those four victims were located.
But the case first started as a missing persons case of 24-year-old Shannon Gilbert, an escort from New Jersey, who disappeared after an outcall with a man in Oak Beach, near Gilgo. Gilbert left his house and called 911 before she disappeared.
Shannon.
Her remains were found a year later, in 2011. Authorities say her death may have been accidental and not related to the other killings. But the attorney hired by her family, John Ray, says that she was definitely murdered.
I would say not might have happened. I would say definitely happened. Shannon, who had come to Brewer, he was the John for the night. She called 911. How unusual is that for an escort? Said they're trying to kill me several times. Had a choice between staying in the house and waiting for the killers to come in or running where they were outside, a Sophie's choice. She made the right choice. She ran. She was accosted, as you heard, with that blood-curdling scream. She managed to get away. She ran, knocked on doors, disappeared, and is found dead in the marsh a long time later on, many months later. Her hyoid bone was fractured, which is the bone, if you strangle somebody, that's the bone you would fracture. It was fractured. It had a hole punched or drilled through it as well. Dr. Michael Biden, world-renowned medical examiner, claimed just 2 weeks ago on television that she was murdered.
Now, here's how we got here. In February of 2022, the FBI, the New York State Police, and Suffolk County Police all created the Gilgoat Task Force and started the investigation all over again, looking at the case evidence, the DNA, and even some past interviews. A year later, Rex Huerman, 6'4", 59-year-old architect in Manhattan, and father of two from Massapequa, was arrested. Police referred to him as a demon who was walking among us. Prosecutors say a combination of DNA evidence, cell tower data, and witness descriptions made him the prime suspect in some of the Long Island killings known as the Gilgo Beach murders. After matching DNA evidence from a pizza crust, phone records, and his wife's hair allegedly on duct tape wrapped on the bodies, Huerman was arrested in front of his Fifth Avenue, New York office building. He had been under surveillance, and detectives moved in. I've been to that building, and I have to tell you that the building, really nice, very swanky, and just a block away from the Empire State Building. I spoke with another man who works in that same building. Here's what he told me.
His office is right above my office.
So did you ever see him in the building?
Not me, but I think either my boss or my coworker may have bumped into him, you know, so.
What was your reaction of him working in the building and being arrested out front?
I was kind of like a speechless. I was kind of surprised that it was him that was up here. That's news I got when on that Friday, when it was all surrounded by troopers, police, and reporters. So.
Yeah, do you remember when it happened? Like, was it all out here? Where did it happen? Was it here?
Well, the arrest was about a block away. But I guess the police here came to, you know, check his office and collect all the evidence, whatever, you know, so.
Have you been following the case?
I've been reading up. It's a pretty weird guy, and he's an awful-looking guy.
Huerman has been charged with 4 counts murder, and he has pleaded not guilty. I was at the courthouse in the summer of 2023 for one of his first court appearances, and I'm looking at my notebook here. I waited 3 to 4 hours just to get in court, in a big, huge line along with the other media. Once we were inside, there were about 20 to 25 deputies lining the walls and all the exits of that Long Island courtroom. Huerman walked in handcuffs, dressed in a shirt and khaki and a sport coat. He slowly looked over at me, and he looked at the rest of the media as he left the courtroom that day.
Now from Suffolk County, New York, is our own Court TV crime and justice correspondent, Matt Johnson. Matt, I've been itching to talk to you because I know that you were inside with the alleged serial killer during the hearing. Tell us what happened.
Well, at one point, Judge Ashley, he cocked his head back and glanced right at the media that was seated in the front couple rows, including myself, and he gave us all a glance. And then he looked back at his attorneys and he walked out. He looked disheveled today. He towered over any law enforcement that surrounded the walls of that tiny courtroom. He walked in, his arms were crossed, he had handcuffs on, he had no tie, a blue shirt, and khaki pants.
Huerman's attorney said that he was in tears and that he said he didn't do this when he was arrested. He has been meeting with clergy and trying to stay in touch with his family behind bars. His wife of 25 years, Asa Ellerup, filed for divorce after his arrest. I spoke with her while covering the case.
I know you can't talk about the case. How are you holding up?
What do you see? It is what it is.
How's your children doing?
Not good. Not going there.
Have you spoken to your husband?
And I'm not going there either. That's already been, his lawyers already answered that question.
How are you getting through the day with media and with all the questions? I know it must be tough.
Moment by moment.
Her attorney says that she's devastated and was blindsided. But now she is working on a documentary project, and she has been visiting him while he's behind bars. She now says that she will wait to see all the evidence.
Initially informed them about their husband, their father. They were shocked. They were disgusted. They were embarrassed. So if you ask me, I don't believe that they knew about this double life that Mr. Harriman was living.
She had no idea any of this was going on, or the allegations were even her husband was a suspect. She's not a suspect. She has not been questioned by the police regarding any of this. It's been extremely overwhelming for her and the children trying to piece life back together with what it was 2.5 weeks ago. I don't know if they're ever going to return to normalcy, but day by day, she's getting better. She needs to show her strength so her children have something to focus on, a strong focal point of their mom being in charge and everything. And she's getting better each day.
Most neighbors I spoke with in the small town of Massapequa have rallied around Asa and the kids. But some, as you can expect, wonder why they didn't see any signs.
I happen to notice you dropped something off over at the Hurman's house. What was it and why?
Gift cards for them for food. And I know what they're going through. It's probably struggling. And I know they had a hard time. And it's not their fault. It's not their, you know. So I was just trying to help out. You know, we have a... Massapequa Park is a very knit, tight community. Everybody, if everybody's in trouble, anybody in trouble, they help out.
I just feel bad for his wife and children. It's unfortunate that he is what he is, but I just wish they would leave his family alone, you know, leave the child alone, leave his wife, children alone, and his wife. Let them have some peace. It's not their fault.
I just question whether, like, the family, like, had a suspicion of it. Just, like, I know that it's different because, you know, the wife and the kids grew to, like, love him. They were in their lives for the longest time, like, obviously. But I just question, like, being so close, like, do you see those things? Like, do you catch on? Like, because that's scary. Like, not be, if you don't catch on to those things being so close, it's like that could happen to anyone.
It's a question I'm sure most of us would ask, but it's also part of the MO, right? Serial killers are predators who hide in plain sight. So, for a perspective on this, I reached out to the author and victims' right advocate, who you've seen on this podcast before, Carrie Rawson, the daughter of Dennis Rader, known as the BTK serial killer.
Okay. I'm Carrie Rawson, and I'm the daughter of Dennis Rader, otherwise known as the BTK serial killer. From, like, a crime standpoint, like, the victims' families, you know, they've been waiting, like, some of them for decades for answers. Now, we don't know right now how much is, like, equated to Rex, but, like, for at least the four Giglo Beach, like, they've been waiting so long, right? And so you're like, this was one I didn't think was going to get solved. It's like this myth, like this legend, right? And then, so you're elated that somebody's, like, been captured, you know, basically I'm saying, like, we've got another critter off the streets, like my dad. Like, that's amazing to catch one of these guys and put them away for life. And we've got him on DNA. So I don't think there's really any question there in my mind on at least the four. But, like, right after that, then you're like, wow, does this guy have a family? You know? And so you're like, I'm looking through the news, like, asking, like, does he have a family? And then you're seeing, okay, he has a wife, he has kids, and you're just, like, right back there to 2005 when my dad was arrested.
What is that like for the family of the serial killer and presuming that they don't know anything?
Oh, it's just shocking. I mean, for my, like, so we know Rex was arrested the night before. So my question is, did they notify the family the night before? Did they contact them? Did they quietly notify them and move them somewhere safe? My family was notified right after my father was arrested. So, you know, there was news coming out that there had been an arrest, but I still don't even really know what was out that first, like, say, 24 hours till the press conference. And so my reality is very different from, say, media or the public. And so it's my hope that Rex's family, you know, was contacted privately and notified the night before. For the family, that whatever that notification was, it's just like your whole life is altered right at that moment and you're going into shock. And so, like, it was key for law enforcement to interview us quickly to clear us, right? Because they need to clear you, make sure, like, especially with like older adults, like that nobody else is involved, like the wife. And then they want to like get information from you, like dates and times and, you know, alibis, because they have this massive investigation going on. And honestly, like, I was shutting down very quickly. So I was going into shock, physically shaking while I'm being interviewed by the FBI agent.
Family members of serial killers are asked all the time if they knew something, and how could they not know something? So what's your answer to that?
I got asked it again today on Twitter. I mean, it's been 18 years for my family. I mean, some of these families going back to like the big ones in the 70s, I mean, you're talking 40, 50 years now for these families, multi-generations being like harped on, like, how did you not know? The reality is, like, if you're a sane functioning person, if you had come across any of this stuff, like we found in my dad, the like law enforcement found in my dad's house, or they're finding in Rex's house, like you would notify the police right away, right? And what you're dealing with, and I'm trying to educate and speak up on, is like, I can't speak for Rex's family, but in my family's personal case, we were all multi-levels of abuse victims for decades. And so my father was like emotionally and mentally abusing us. It wasn't just controlling us, but it was like to the levels of criminality, of like pathologically lying in our house and controlling our environment down to where he could sit and where my shoes needed to be. And so I was a crime victim before I was born. My mom was pregnant when my dad committed his seventh. And so the reality is that for like, especially for children like me, we're born into this family, and we're raised from the get-go by these people. So we really have no idea what his family has gone through, what levels of victimology they've been through, what they're dealing with now. And really, my best advice to anybody public and in the media is just be sensitive that like his family are victims too, and they're crime victims. And so just start from that place. So if you were going to approach any crime victim, approach them the same way. Like, so much focus right now is on Rex and what, you know, he maybe has been doing and his background, and that's important. We need to know that. But also, there's a lot of victims here that need their stories told, and there's a lot of moving pieces right now. And also, this is all active investigation, and so like there's a reason like police are keeping things close to the vest, or the families might not be available to you right now, and so you just have to be public and then wait for more facts to come out and develop.
Recently, Carrie's dad, Dennis Rader, has been named a prime suspect in additional unsolved murders. I talk about it in season 4 of the podcast, if you want to check it out. As for Huerman, he is still a suspect in several unsolved murders, and he faces life in prison if convicted.
This is a 13-year case, so as you saw, we have a great deal of information, evidence, photographs, reports to provide to the defense counsel. We've begun that process. I think it was 8 gigabytes of material, which is a tremendous amount. And that's just the beginning. We're going to continue to do that on a rolling basis. And, this case, the charges in the indictment are just allegations.
The district attorney provided us with apparently 8 terabytes of discovery, which we're obviously going to go through with fine detail over the coming months. I understand there's going to be more discovery forthcoming, and we have a new court date of September 27th. That's the next scheduled court date. And that, again, is going to be a conference date, and we'll update the judge on where we're at. So if I can answer some questions, I'll do my best to do that. Well, he's incarcerated. You know, he's a man who's never been arrested before. He's maintained his innocence from the inception of this case. So he's doing the best he can at this point in time. He's looking forward to having his day in court.
And we can and should expect more news out of the Gilgo Task Force as they keep investigating. In fact, after Huerman's arrest, they made another breakthrough.
TV crime and justice correspondent Matt Johnson has details of another body found and identified on Gilgo Beach.
A major development today as one of the 11 murder victims discovered near the Gilgo Beach area of Long Island is identified.
Since 2011, that victim was known by various names, including Fire Island Jane Doe. Today, we are here to announce that as part of the Gilgo Task Force re-examination of all the evidence in the case, we were able to identify Fire Island Jane Doe as Karen Vergata, who was 34 years old at the time of her disappearance. And I believe we have a picture of Miss Vergata. I think it's important that we remember and honor not only Miss Vergata, but all the victims.
Jane Doe number 7, known as the Fire Island Jane Doe, now identified as Karen Vergata, a 34-year-old escort living in Manhattan when she disappeared back in February of 1996. In 2011, her legs and feet were discovered on the beach off Fire Island. Her skull, located near the dismembered remains of Jane Doe number 3, known as Peaches, off Ocean Parkway in Long Island, not far from where the 10 other sets of remains were discovered. Vergata was identified through forensic genealogy after the Gilgo Beach Task Force was formed last year.
Anyone with any information in the Long Island serial killer case or the Gilgo 4, please contact the Suffolk County Crime Stoppers at 800-220-TIPS. I will post a video and pictures on my website of the case, truecrimedeadline.com. We'll also post stuff on Twitter and Facebook under True Crime Deadline. Remember, after the episode, a shout-out to those who wrote reviews on Apple Podcasts. It really helps, and thank you. Investigators, until next time.
Thank you for investigating True Crime Deadline with Matt Johnson. For more information about the podcast, visit truecrimedeadline.com. And remember, all tips regarding a case should go to the police. Until next time.
Now, a post-episode shout-out to an investigator who wrote a review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you. Again, writing reviews really helps independent podcasts like this one get noticed. We're up against networks, TV channels, you name it. So thank you. It's easy. It's free. Hit 5 stars. Subscribe. Tell a friend. Do it all. Thank you. And include your real name and your podcast name if you're a podcaster. I'll mention that. This one is from Ransom. It's from a while ago, but I don't think that we got to it. It says, access to individuals impacted by crime like no other. The interviews of this podcast feel more raw and unobstructed. I certainly have looked into how to support some of the efforts that family members have started and to learn more about how to assist. I recommend the podcast. That's really cool because we do try to help people in solving crimes, getting answers, or helping them with their journey of healing. So thank you, Ransom, and thank you, investigators. Until next time.